Thank you for downloading the Friday Night Comedy Podcast from Radio 4. To find out more, visit bbc.co.uk/radio4.
Nicola, we've done it! We've practically won every bloody seat in Scotland! Finally, we can do what we want. Another independence referendum. Greater devolution to Holyrood. Trident replaced with a lovely fluffy Scots terrier in a wee tartan coat. I just need to have a wee look at the results in England, though, and check Labour completed their half of the plan. Otherwise, our success would have enabled a Tory government and we'd end up looking pretty silly. I'll just check on BBC News... Holy mother of Andrew Murray! Nicola, call me back!
Dead Ringers. It's the morning after the election, and two things are now clear. David Cameron will be Prime Minister, and voters take great delight in lying their arses off to opinion pollsters. At 8:10, we'll be talking to Michael Gove and Toby Young, who'll be both smiling. So just thank your lucky stars, this is radio. It must be a shattered Ed Miliband who joins me now.
Thanks, Jim. That's a great question.
I think, on behalf of the nation, I must say, you okay, hun? You look desolate.
What? No, not at all. Why would I be desolate? I did what I set out to do. I proved a few people wrong tonight.
What? But you got trounced. In Scotland, it'd be easier to find a vegan chippy than a Labour MP.
Exactly. I proved all those people wrong who, during the campaign, started saying I was good at politics. My Miller fans trying to turn me into a bigger sex symbol than Poldark. Russell Brand calling on his hipster army to vote for me. Finally, I can wear the donkey jacket of Michael Foot.
Cleggers, it's Dave. Sorry to hear about the crippling defeat, old boy. I mean, who could have predicted that? But I've been thinking, being Prime Minister just wouldn't be the same without you. I want to get the old band back together. So I'm offering you a job on a 0 hours contract. Massaging George Osborne's bunions. See you first thing Monday. Rah, rah, rah. Cameron out.
Welcome to the Great British Menu. And in this election special, we make an extra special dish for a downhearted political figure. Britain's greatest chefs are going to be cooking for Paddy Ashdown. We asked Paddy just what he was looking for in a hat.
Look, I don't know. I don't want to eat a hat. It was just a metaphor. Please don't make me eat a hat.
But unfortunately for Paddy, under UK bylaws, he must eat a hat or be skewered through the gizzard by a Worcesterman. Hey, I don't make the laws. And first up, it's Nigella Lawson.
This is such an easy recipe and also a great way of using up those things you have lying around the kitchen, like Patagonian purple garlic, Neville jelly and a hat. First, take your hat and positively dry hump it in butter. Hats. Once you've done that, you're pretty much done. Serve on a bed, which is also edible, and then dish up to 30 or 40 of your closest Lib Dem MPs. Oh, sorry, Paddy.
For the last time, I'm not eating a hat.
You wouldn't be going back on a promise, would you, Paddy?
Why not? What's the worst that can happen?
I want a government for the many, not the few.
The campaigning may be over, but you can enjoy those golden moments you've loved over and over again. With Now That's What I Call an Election 2015. Listen in the gym and add some oomph to your workout.
Am I tough enough? Hell yeah, I'm tough enough.
That really pumps me up. I'm so pumped up right now. Gwah!
From the old classics you know and love, I'm Sorry About Tuition Fees, to more recent numbers, I'm Sorry About Tuition Fees. And all of your new favourites.
The UKIP candidate who made those remarks has been suspended.
With Now That's What I Call an Election 2015, you can relive every second. Sit back and relax to Natalie Bennett's masterful tones.
I've lost my... I'm sorry, could I borrow your inhaler?
Now That's What I Call an Election 2015. Available now as a download or a lethal injection.
So, David Cameron has been returned as Prime Minister. He joins me now from Downing Street. Good morning, Prime Minister.
Hello.
Mr. Cameron, a stunning success for you. I can well imagine how you feel.
Sure you can, John.
You must be delighted, presumably.
No, I'm absolutely furious.
Furious? Why?
Because this means I'm going to have to keep doing this bloody job for another 5 more years. I couldn't be more devastated if I were a Lib Dem who worked for a polling organisation.
Sorry. Are you saying you didn't actually want to win this election?
Did you watch my campaign? Of course I bloody didn't. I thought I made it perfectly obvious throughout that I wanted to lose so that I could immediately resign as Tory leader, get some cushy part-time directorship and spend the rest of my time eating wheat crunchies and watching Big Bang Theory repeats on E4.
What kind of message does that send out to the electorate?
Oh, I'll tell you my message to the people of Britain, shall I? What the hell were you thinking? I gave you the bedroom tax, zero-hour contracts, a top-down reorganisation of the NHS. Seriously, what more could I have done? And this is how you reward me. Well, screw you. And believe me, that's exactly what I'm going to be doing for the next 5 years.
Hi there, Ed. Yeah, it's David. You know, your brother, remember? Yeah, we had that whole... Well, never mind. Look, I just wanted to say that I'm really, 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 really sorry to hear about your crushing defeat last night. Expecting you're going to be a beloved leader and then have it snatched away from you at the last minute by a conniving little git. Yeah, I really can't imagine what that must feel like. Not a clue. No, sorry. Anyway, Ed, gotta go. Got lunch with the Obamas in a Michelin-starred restaurant. Tough life, but somebody's got to do it. Keep your head up, Eddie. Carlos, one more margarita.
It's 8:10, and we're taking a quick look back at some of last night's election coverage.
Have we not suffered enough? Hello, and welcome to 7 hours of nothing, followed by 1 hour of something. I'm here in front of a spiral staircase for no reason, and Andrew Neil's sitting up there in some bird's nest, looking like an overfed crow.
That's right. I'm up here, two colours in my tie, which is half as many as in my hair. Speaking of which, I'd like to thank the makeup department for doing such a stellar job spray-painting it on. Now we go over to Sophie Raworth, who stood on a big, pointless map of the country like a sexy Michael Fish.
Yeah, thanks very much, Andrew. It's sort of blue, red, yellow, purple. I've absolutely no idea what's going on. I don't know what I did to deserve this. Emily Maitlis is in a nice warm studio in a red cocktail frock and I'm freezing my bosoms off on a giant set of political stickle bricks.
You now join me, Jeremy Vine, on CGI Downing Street. Look at this. Wow. Ooh, look at this. I'm on a spaceship. Wow. Look at me now, jumping over here very quickly, saying things very, very quickly. Now I'm in Barbados. Wow. Now I'm in a giant car park overrun with dinosaurs. Look at this. Ah, scary, terrifying. Gotta get some use out of it. We paid George Lucas £10 million to direct this. David, has anything happened yet?
No, not really. Remember, if you prefer, you could always switch over to Channel 4 to watch Jeremy Paxman's Midlife Crisis. Or, alternatively, you could make an adult decision and go to bed.
Hello to you all. I'm sure many of my poorer subjects are absolutely gutted about the election result. Naturally, it falls to me as your constitutional head of state to distract you from the prospect of 5 more years of cuts, austerity, and Chris Grayling's bald head with shiny things so you don't feel wretched being so poor. So here goes. Look, a royal baby! Ah, bless, isn't she cute? Just look at her little face. Whoa, and what a beautiful name. Charlotte Elizabeth, that horrid woman who married Charles. This may surprise you, but my family and I will be one of those poor unfortunates without a job, thrown on the scrap heap by those damn Tories. This is because most of our job involves opening schools and hospitals. So that's me with my feet up watching Cash in the Attic until 2020. Things do look bleak for the Union, but don't be too downhearted. Your Queen is on it. I've had a word, and Sturgeon says one can have Scotland every other weekend, plus the occasional half term and every other Christmas.
You're back with the BBC general election coverage with me, David Dimbleby. Why is it when there's two brothers at the heart of British political life, it's always the one called David who's the best one? Just to update the latest results, the Conservatives have held on to Rutland, Labour has held on to Walthamstow, and the Lib Dems have held on to each other as they quietly weep. We can now speak to the winner of the campaign.
Come on, you pommy drongo, get on with it. I've got a country to run.
Mr. Rupert Murdoch, it's been a good night for you. You've won north and south of the border with a working majority. Have you any thoughts as to how you're going to govern the country?
Well, now I've got a mandate, we can really start talking. We've had to govern as a timid coalition with the bloody Daily Telegraph up to now, but now it's full-throated Murdoch policies from now on. Not only are we reintroducing page 3 to the Sun, we're making it compulsory for Sharon, 22, from Swindon, to appear on the front of every publication, including Bella, the Beano, Reader's Digest, and she will be replacing Charles Darwin on the £20 note.
You're back with Today. Now, the full extent of the SNP victory in Scotland is beginning to emerge, with Labour losing seats such as Ochil and Stirling, both of which it's held since the late Cretaceous period. The SNP leader, Nicola Sturgeon, joins me now.
Hello, John.
An incredible result for you, winning 56 of the 59 seats on offer.
Oh, it was OK, I suppose.
OK, you suppose? This is historic. You decimated the other parties. A 20-year-old student defeated Douglas Alexander. A wind-up cuddly toy defeated the Scottish Labour leader, Jim Murphy. How could you possibly not be satisfied?
Well, because it turns out there are people in Scotland who didn't vote SNP. 17 of them. I have their names here.
What?
After everything I've done for them, this is the reward I get. Morag MacDonald, Hamish Edwards, Gregor Schapp. Gregor, what would your mother say if she knew what you did? I hope you're thoroughly ashamed of yourself.
You can't expect every single person in Scotland to vote for you.
You don't know a lot about Scotland, do you, John?
So what will you be telling the 56 MPs you're sending to London?
I'll be telling them that they must oppose the austerity politics of the Tories and, most importantly, stand on the left on the escalators on the Tube. Londoners hate that.
So, does this victory mean that independence is back on the agenda?
Well, we made it very clear during the campaign that we'd accepted the result of the referendum vote and had no plans at all for a second independence referendum. None at all. Totally off the table. So, yes, it'll take place on September 15th.
Hello, and welcome to This Week with me, Andrew Neil, the creepy drunk uncle of current affairs. Joining me tonight is Michael Portillo, our very own walnut whip.
Yes, hello, Andrew. It's so nice having the sofa all to my... Oh, God.
Oh, Oh, I'm sorry I'm a bit late, you guys.
Oh. Diane, but we thought perhaps...
Andrew, I had to print out some new registration forms for the people of Hackney. And somehow I didn't get the email that we were filming in a studio 20 miles away from Broadcasting House and hidden by camouflage netting. Almost didn't make it.
Oh, no. Perish the thought.
Room for a little one.
Hang on, Andrew. Maybe it's just because Diane's back with us, but why does this already ludicrously small sofa feel extra crowded?
That's because we've got a new addition to the lineup.
Buenas noches, Michael.
Hey, what are you doing here?
I'm the new Portillo on the block. For some reason, the public find ex-Tory politicians to be wonderful, lightweight media personalities. You, Giles Brandreth, even Ann Widdecombe against all logic. It's funny, it never quite works for Labour. John Prescott once tried to do quote-unquote and got bottled off.
Oh, come on, Michael, budge up a bit.
Yes, budge up, come on.
Oh, God, watch my pink Miami Vice-style jacket. You can't just move in on my patch. Find somewhere else to sit.
Certainly not. I want to sit next to this divine creature. Ooh. Diane, may I say that you are looking absolutely radiant tonight.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, William. I'm not used to all this attention.
Oh, Diane, you have obviously not been treated right. Now then, do you know what I absolutely would love to hear about?
What?
Every single one of your thoughts about the people of Hackney.
Oh, I think I'm going to pass out with joy.
Oh, actually, is that the time? I've got to go.
But you're not leaving so soon?
Well, yes, I've been offered another TV job. I go around on trains, pointing at things out of the window.
Oh, God.
You're watching Bradford Local Television, bringing you all the Bradford news straight from Bradford. Bradford, just south of Shipley. Press silence and make the sign of the Big Brother Eye, as we have a visitation from our glorious leader.
Salaam alaikum, peace be upon me. To my loyal subjects, it is with great sadness that I announce I am to leave you all now. Do not weep excessively, though the sadness you feel is immense. The people of Bradford have sinned greatly, flirting with the accursed democracy, casting me aside for false idols.
They are not fit to lick the boots of Galloway. All praise unto him, for his fedora is rakishly fashionable.
Your praise is wise, but I must sacrifice myself and leave you all.
But Galloway, you cannot go. You are clear of eye, stout of heart and rampant of libido. It's not too late. We will repent and throw ourselves at your expensive shoes.
It is far too late. I warned you about voting, my disciples. I suggested a caliphate ruling in my name for 1,000 years. But the council disdained it in favour of discussing a park and ride scheme from the ring road to the railway station.
You cannot do this to us. We are too unworthy for your greatness. For your eye bags are large and abundant. Your fedora is as black as the heavens, and your opponents are irrational women.
Look upon me one last time, Bradford, for tomorrow there will be a new dawn, and the Sofa Palace showroom half-price crazy madhouse sale continues right through the bank holiday weekend. But hurry, it must end soon!
I'm Nigel Farage.
No, let me speak.
Jumping Jehovah, I'm hungover. Welcome to my Battle Pub podcast. I've just woken with the mobile pub on the side of a road, and I have to be honest, I've no idea where I am or what the bloody hell happened last night. We thought it would be a good idea to get a couple of pints in before the results started coming through, and the next thing I knew, it was 1 a.m, and me and Reckless were drinking the ink out of the polling pens. And everything after that is a complete blank. I don't know who's won, who's lost, or who's stolen my trousers. I'll just take a look outside, see if any of the public can tell me what's happened. Oh! Ah, Lord, someone's thrown an egg at me. Oi! Do you hate me because I lost, or do you hate me because I won? Or are you the owner of the Blacksmith's Arms, annoyed at what I left in that pot plant? Ah, here's someone with a UKIP rosette on, they'll know. Excuse me, madam, did I win or lose? Well,
oh, Nigel, you're always a winner in my heart.
Oh, so I've lost then?
Oh, no, you've won.
I won?
In my heart.
What does that mean?
Do you want to come back to mine? I've got a shrine of you, Nigel, and I've blacked out the windows so the Jews can't spy on us.
Jews, get out of here! Go on, get scat! Dreadful. Sorry about that, listeners. What's the world coming to when you can't trust a woman with a UKIP rosette dragging a dead dog in a leash? Hold on, Omo. I'll ask this lovely chap here. Excuse me, sir. I need a bit of help. What's your name?
Pietro.
Oh, cock it. Tell me how UKIP did last night.
Oh, but Mr. Farage, I'm just an unskilled migrant worker. How could I possibly get my tiny Polish pea brain around such complex political issues?
Are you being sarcastic?
Yes.
So, did I win?
Oh, I don't know. I don't watch it. I'm just here to claim free health benefits.
Sarcastic again?
Yes! Now get out of my sight.
Blimey, I don't know what I've done to offend him. Ruddy hell, I'm never going to find out if I... Oh, hold on, a cotton-picking moment. A text from Dougie Carswell. Oh, my God, it says... Oh, no, hang on, that's my ringtone. He's ringing me. I'll pop him on the speaker.
Nigel, my boy, you get the good news?
Yes, yes, I read your text. You got in, blah, blah, blah. But what about me?
Ah.
Come on, spit it out.
Let me put it this way. I think a few Polish people might have voted.
Oh. Oh, no. Oh, well. Anyone got Top Gear's number?
Hello, I'm Nick Clegg. Sorry about that. There's no getting around the fact that this has been a very bad night for the Liberal Democrats. We've lost a lot of very good MPs and Vince Cable. I'd like to start by thanking those people who across the country did vote Liberal Democrat. Barry, Alison, Kate, it's been much appreciated. Thank you. But I told our remaining Lib Dem MPs that they can still have a major role to play in shaping the country. When I met them earlier in a phone box on Parliament Square, I've got no regrets for making the tough choice I did in 2010 to go into government with the Conservatives. Sure, we could have taken the easy option of staying true to our Liberal Democrat tradition and the values of the people who elected us. But we instead chose to take the tough choices that involved big ministerial cars and a fancy office that had Deputy Prick Minister on the door. Yes, I kept asking them to change that, but they never quite got round to it. Of course, I will miss life around the cabinet table, the camaraderie we formed with the Tories, the way George Osborne would always call me Fred, David Cameron pulling those silly faces whenever I spoke. And it was always being a whoopee cushion on my chair when I sat down. Such larks. Because I know we made a real difference in government whenever the Tories suggested some awful policy to punish the poor, we'd put our foot down and look cross and then agree to it. So, yes, things look bleak right now, but I'm sure we'll bounce back after disappointing votes, much like the Whigs, the Natural Law Party, and that man who lit his farts on Britain's Got Talent. Oh, hang on. Look, I've got a text from Cammers. He obviously knows I must be in a bad place right now and he wants to check I'm doing okay. Well, what does it say?
Lol.
Lots of love to you too.
Hello, and welcome to our Newsnight post-election special with me, Evan Davis, sounding constantly mildly surprised on TV since 1997. Joining me on the line at this time of near apocalyptic chaos and confusion is our foreign correspondent, Lise Doucette.
Hello, Evan.
Now, you're north of the border, Lise. Is that why the BBC has drafted you in? Because Scotland is about to declare independence.
No, Evan. The BBC gave me the title foreign correspondent simply because my accent is an amalgam of every other accent in the world.
Now, the press has widely predicted economic and constitutional chaos in Scotland following an SNP victory there. What can you see around you?
Well, I've seen unbelievable things here today, Evan. I watched this morning as a woman came out of her house and headed straight for the shop to buy milk. One can only assume she was going to use it to make a milk-based Molotov cocktail to hurl at Berwick-upon-Tweed. I asked whether she planned to finally take revenge for the Battle of Culloden. She looked at me wearily and said she was going to go to work, then she'd probably go home again and watch Eggheads. I presume Eggheads is some kind of code word for missile launcher.
Well, it does sound like things are pretty desperate up there.
You're not wrong, Evan. I'm off now to retreat to the relative calm of Yemen. You're listening to Today. Political uncertainty abounds this morning, but one thing is certain, Boris Johnson is the new MP for Uxbridge. Congratulations, Mr. Johnson.
See, your congratulations, Sarah, are as warmly received as Jason returning aboard the Argo bearing the Golden Fleece.
As the new MP for Uxbridge, what are your views on the expansion of Heathrow?
Well, speaking for my constituents, I think it's a terrible idea. We should say no way to great iron birds roaring overhead.
Well, committed as we are to showing both sides of the story, we're joined now by the Mayor of London.
What is, Sarah? And the MP for Uxbridge is talking utter shash. As the Mayor, I have to speak for all Londoners, and we desperately need an expanded hub airport.
The MP for Uxbridge?
The Mayor's talking poppycock. I'm aghast and dumbfounded at his tacit support for the expansion of Heathrow. It'll go right over my constituents' heads. I will fight you. I will fight you right to the wire on this, Mr. Mayor.
One relishes the challenge, Mr. MP.
Every time we lost a seat, I died a little. With each and every defeat, I tried to hide a little. People of Britain, you made me eat my words. The truth has bitten. You prefer jocks to nerds. Please believe I did my best. I did my duty. Find someone, that's our new quest. Someone to beat Lord Snooty. There was no job finer, but how strange the change from leader to resigner. Now it's time to say goodbye.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Culshaw, Jan Ravens, Lewis MacLeod, Duncan Wisby and Deborah Stevenson. It was written by Tom Jameson and Nev Fountain, Ed Amsden and Tom Coles, Lawrence Howarth, James Bug, Sarah Campbell, John Culshaw, Max Davis, Laura Major and Duncan Wisby. The producer and creator was Bill Dare. It was a BBC Radio comedy production.
To listen again to any of our comedies on Radio 4, please go to bbc.co.uk/radio4/comedy.